I think I'll call it the return of Jesus. I could call it the Lord's Day. How about that? I'm not going to go into great detail because there's lots of conflicting ideas on it. So where shall I start? I go right back into one of the oldest characters in the Bible who lived a very difficult life, a righteous man. Again, everything went against him. And what does he say? And it's one of the loveliest verses in the Bible. Or maybe it's more than one verse, but you know. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Now, if you don't think of that as one of the loveliest verses in the Bible, I think it is. Because he is a man, and it was, in some respects, perhaps it was easier, possibly, for the people in the Old Testament, because this is going way back into the Old Testament, way before Jesus came on the scene, as it were, on earth. And he says this, and he's looking forward to this Redeemer. And you know what? Why is it important to us? And I found this interesting this week, that when something horrible like what's happened this week with April Jones, you know, people can use it to turn against God. Like, if this happens, you know, where's God? And this kind of thing. And I think, but this is a reason to turn to God, because God has answers. And God is a God of justice. And when I see this thing, I think, yes, I want my Redeemer, because I want my Redeemer to bring true justice into this world. I want my Redeemer to sort some of these issues out. I want my Redeemer to show what's right. And if I said to this person, if you don't have God, you don't, what do you have? You have nothing. You have despair, because people like this and these things, they may get caught, they may not. They may be answerable, they may not. But God will bring true justice one day. And do you think that's important? To have something in you that says, we need true justice one day. And even if we don't feel that we've had justice in our lives, there will be a God who can bring true justice into this world. And in that those verses, it says, how my heart yearns within me. How my heart yearns to see this Redeemer. Even though I'm going to die. If I die. But somehow, he doesn't understand. Somehow I'm going to see this Redeemer in the flesh, as it were. Because he says, even though my body decays, somehow I'm going to stand there and see him. He's talking of the resurrection, isn't he? But he yearns for this. And the other week, I was somewhere listening to the Bible, as I have been doing. Just listening away. And all of a sudden, we get into Zechariah. And I'm listening to this. And then all of a sudden, it's really sort of like, wow, I'm really enjoying this. This is really exciting. And so I'm going through this. It's really, really exciting stuff. And I'm really enjoying. This is in the Old Testament again. And I came to a coffee shop. And Debbie's here. And I say, oh, how are things? Whatever. She says, wow, we've had a really good house group. It's been really exciting. We've been talking about the end times, and I was loving it. In fact, I didn't even want to go home. And, you know, in some ways, that's how it should be. Shouldn't it? When we talk about Jesus' return, it should be something that we really desire, that we really anticipate, that we hope for. And whether we'll see it, you know, we'll come to it anyway. It's something that should thrill us. And when I, as I listened to this, I was thinking about it. And, you know, in the Bible, it, when Jesus' mother, she saw Mary, she sees Jesus growing up, and little things happened. You know, an angel visited her, and Jesus goes off when he goes to the, when they go off to the temple and disappears and they lose him. And you know what it says? She treasured these things in her heart. I think that's lovely as well. She treasured these things in her heart. She sort of stored them up as if like, this, you know, what's going on? And she just treasured them. And with some of these things, I think, just treasure them. You know, the thought that Jesus is coming again. And also when the disciples were walking along the Emmaus Road and Jesus came up to them, they didn't recognize him. Their heads were down and they were sort of moping along. And then he starts to talk to them and he starts to tell them about who Jesus is and the Messiah and everything. And then afterwards it says, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road as he opened the scriptures to us? And, you know, some of these things should make your heart burn within you as you hear them, as you think about them, you treasure them. They should make your heart burn. You should be thinking, wow, this is fantastic. This is great. And, you know, these, you don't have to be skipping around dancing, but you could make your heart burn, you know, excited. You could be thinking inside, this is great stuff. And the gospel of Jesus, you know, he's died for us. He's saved us. But it isn't fully complete in our lives, in a sense, because our bodies do decay, don't they? Our bodies see death. Our bodies, as we could look around and see, as we get older, these bodies start failing, don't they? And the gospel of Jesus is not only for our souls, our spirits, but it is actually for our bodies as well. And when Jesus returns, we're going to have a new body. That's what the promise is. It's a full gospel of, it's not just your soul is saved. And as I thought about the whole gospel and the realization and the fulfillment of it, I thought about perhaps a bit like being on a walk up the mountains. You're going on a walk, you go off on your own and you stumble and fall and you break your leg up a mountain. You're stuck up this mountain. Miles from anywhere, quite remote, lost, broken leg, stuck, quite despairing situation really. But along comes a doctor, finds you, and he says, I'll patch you up, but I got to run, I'll have to nip off and go and get help. I'll have to go off and I haven't got a phone with me. He's like me, you know, travels without his phone and stuff like that. I go off and get help. I go and call the emergency services. But in the meantime, I just happen to be carrying these flares. So you can use them. And I'll disappear. And we're in a very remote place. So maybe we'll have to get a helicopter to come and get you. Mountain rescue. So off he goes. This is what our salvation is a bit like. Because Jesus has come. He has rescued us, as it were, told us the gospel of the good news. He's found us. He's kind of patched us up, if I can put it like this, as in that story. He's gone, but he's returning to fully redeem us, yeah, fully restore us. So we're in that sort of middle bit of waiting. And as we hear the helicopter come in, we can fire off our flares, yeah, so that they can find us. That's just my sort of picture that I put for us. But we wait for the fulfillment of the gospel. It's and when he returns, things will happen. And my hope is like Job's, that one day I will see this, my Savior face to face. That's the hope we have. That we, you know, some people, you might think, oh yeah, we just die and we go off to heaven and that's it, like some spirit. But there's a big purpose for God. He's got a big purpose for our lives, our bodies, for this world, sort of. So do we just die and that's the end of it? No, there is a big purpose for it. And when he returns, there's a bigger fulfillment going on when he returns. And in Acts 1, it says, I could have read you the chapter. You'll have to go and read it yourself. Zechariah 14, and see what you think of it. You enjoy that. I would read it to you. I'm just not sure how my time's going. I could read it at the end. But in Acts 1, it says this, in verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. So he just kind of goes up. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. We could call them angels. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So there's a promise there that he's coming back. So as you see him go up, you see him come back again. The same way. Yeah, so there is this promise that he is going to return physically, visibly. And when you see that, it's, you know, he's coming back to the sky. We'll see him. And it says in Luke, "At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory." And again in Revelation, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him." So it's a very visible thing, this return of Jesus. And sometimes they were warned, the early disciples, if you hear about Jesus somewhere out in the desert, don't go out looking for him. If you hear of him in that building, don't go thinking he's there, because when he comes next time, it's going to be dramatic. And, you know, everyone will see. Why? And it was interesting because it says, "And when the world sees him come, they'll mourn." And I thought, you know, you might think they would rejoice, but they'll mourn. And why will they mourn? And I think, they'll mourn because they have mocked Jesus. All through the ages, they have mocked Jesus. They've disbelieved Jesus. They've ignored Jesus. And then there will be a realization that there is a judgment to come. Because if we can get rid of God and get rid of Jesus, there's no accountability. But when this happens, there'd be a big realization that there is an accountability. And our society, particularly our Western society, wants man to be the final word. If, you know, when you look at it, they want man to be the final word. They don't want God. They're doing the utmost to get rid of God. I was reading something today, yesterday, you know, it was like, modern atheism, is that what it's called? Modern atheism or something. It's quite aggressive, quite anti-Christian, quite anti-God. And they want to get rid of, and it's quite anti, it's very aggressive, really. It's not just saying you believe what you want, you crazy lot, and but there's no God. No, it's actually quite anti-us. And because they don't want an accountability. And they don't want somebody higher than them setting laws and rules and standards to live by. They want man to be the final word. And so when they see this higher being, they will mourn. And it says they will see the one they've pierced, because collectively we pierced him, didn't we? It's because of all of us that he died. but we have come to him, but there will be those that haven't. And when we look at Jesus' return, there is an order to it. You know, it's quite well stated in the Bible. I look at it and I think there's glory, there's proclamation, there's heralding, you know. It is a big deal. And I think when the writers in the Bible were saying it, they might have been in a town. Now, it'd be like in Crawley. Now, I don't know if any of you went to see the torch being carried through the town. Did anyone? I went and watched it. And the streets were lined with people. And everyone was there for this quick glimpse of this torch travelling through, you know. And all the kids had their flags. And you could hardly... came along on my bike to see the torch. And I thought, well, I'll find somewhere easy. I ended up cycling up the route that the torch had to go, trying to find a spot. It was just packed. And, you know, when Jesus comes, there's a sense that it's this big event that everyone will see. And it's like, here comes the King. And the King will be proclaimed. And it'll be a big thing. So, and in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this: "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So the dead in Christ. Do you know that should... Why I love all this, because it gives such hope to us. Such hope. The dead in Christ will rise first. You know, if we think that at the end of our life, that's the end of it, we shouldn't be thinking like that. There's a bigger picture going on here. And the dead in Christ... Do you know what I... Sometimes when I see a cemetery, and, well, particularly in Wales, but, you know, even here, I look at it and I think, do you know, one day there'll be a trumpet call, and there'll be loads of these bodies shooting out of there, going up to sea. And when I was in Wales walking with the boys, I said, you know, we were walking up the mountain and you could look across to it. And I said, you know, one day there'll be a trumpet call and there'll be all these figures coming out the ground. There'll be all these saints from before us. They'll all shoot out the ground, going up to meet our Jesus in the air. History will just go change completely. And these verses should thrill us, really, because, you know, they will have a huge impact. And they give us hope. I hope one day that I will see my parents again. I'll see my grandparents, you know. And we'll see saints that have gone long before us all rise up. The dead in Christ will rise first. They get the priority. They go first. They'll be up there. And I love thinking about these things. I think... You know, travel in a plane, I think, how does a rapture work? It's called a rapture. We call it the rapture, the rising up. How does it work when you're in a plane? You look down the earth, so, you know, it's massive, and you think, how is it going to work? Because Jesus is going to be in one. He's going to be everywhere at once. He's one person. How do we all meet him? Does he do a satellite around the world, collecting all the saints as he goes round? I enjoy thinking about these things, because it says he comes with his angels. Do his angels fan out and they just collect all the saints as they go around? You know, I enjoy thinking of these things. It doesn't really matter, but, you know. There was an advert on telly where you see all these objects, all these things sort of coming out the sea. And I wondered if someone had taken that from the rapture, the imagery of it. I see and I think, gosh, it's just like I can imagine the rapture being. And it says, and the... The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive... So we either die or we're not dead, yeah? God, yeah. Who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them. So first of all, split second, up go the dead... And then the living will be caught up. Those who are, and it says, in Christ, to meet the Lord in the air. We go up to welcome him, yeah? Now, there's lots of different ideas on all this, so I'm not going to go too far down that road, but I'm just saying that the promise is that he's coming again. The dead will rise, and those that are living in Christ will go and meet him in the air. And so will be with the Lord. We will be with him forever. Isn't that something to make your heart burn, make you warm, make you, I don't know. Treasure these thoughts, treasure these things, dwell on them, because we are, you know, we're allowed to look forward to his coming. When you have a week like this, don't you think, isn't it like, come Lord Jesus? Because there's such a lot of rottenness out there. And I think, gosh, well, for people to want to turn their back on God because of it, you have no hope then. It's just like, well, let's have nothing. And at least we can have some hope. So, this event is very visible, it says in Matthew 24, as the lightning flashes across the sky, from east to west, that's what his coming will be like. It'll be a very visible event. It's also unexpected and a surprise. So it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So it will catch people very much by surprise. The actual day. So when people tell you, Jesus is coming March the 1st in 2018, they don't know, do they? He could come on March the 1st, 2018. But, yeah, we don't know the actual date. We look out for certain things and signs, and we always want him to come. But nobody, and it's, if you're anything like me, when you see some of these characters on telly who say he's coming and they're waiting for him and they're standing out, I get embarrassed because I think they've looked at their scriptures and they've tried to plot it when he's exactly coming, and they're there and they say it's coming this day. And the scriptures tell us all the time, no one knows the day. Not even Jesus knew the day. Not the angels didn't know the day. Only the Father had it planned ahead. And when this man, and I've seen him on telly, and you think, oh my word, it's just ridiculing. And they've studied their word, as they say, and then they try and sort of pin a date. We can look out for signs for his coming, but we won't know the day. So when people do go and do things like that, you know, it's we know these, that no one knows the day. No one knows the time, only the Father. But when Jesus does return, our salvation is realized. It's fulfilled. You know, we are saved. It's like that helicopter coming. You're rescued off that mountain. There's an unfolding of God's gospel. Still something to happen at the moment for salvation to be realized. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate out the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. So when he comes, there will be this judgment time, when all the nations before him, and he will sort out the sheep and the goats. The sheep representing the righteous, the goats representing the unrighteous. And it says that the goats will go to eternal punishment and the sheep to eternal life. And we want to be found as one of those holy sheep, don't we? We don't want to be in the goats. And that's what it's, the fulfillment of it all. And I look at the world and people say, you know, why doesn't he do something? You know, why, what would, God will do something. He has done something. He sent Jesus. And he will do something. And when I look at all that, I think, that gives me such a lot of hope. And in those circumstances where you see despair and you think, turn to, you know, our only hope is turn to God. And I've just got a couple more things to finish with. In 1 Corinthians 15, I was going to read it all, but you know, I won't, because I'd like to sing that song we sung last week, actually. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. Do you see? At the last trumpet, we will be raised. Read the whole chapter. I would read it all to you, but there's so many verses. But these should give us hope, these verses. The last trumpet, there'll be this great trumpet blast. And those who believe will be changed like that. Twinkling of... My dad always used to always say 1/40th of a second. Everyone, 40. I don't know where he got his 1/40th of a second. It must have been how quick it took to... That's what he always used to say, in a 40th of a second we'd be changed. And that's a promise for us. Read. You can read that rest of that Corinthians bit. And I thought I'd just read one last thing to finish with, and then we'll do that song. But it is a hope. And when I see these things, and when I read, I mean, I've missed out so much, but they should give us hope as a believer. They should thrill us, really, when we read these things. And it was lovely when Debbie said, I'm really enjoying house group. I could have stayed there all night, you know. We're just talking about these things. And you think, yes, because that is our hope fulfilled when Jesus returns. If it doesn't interest us, it's something sort of missing in our hope. But our hope is fulfilled when Jesus returns. Let me just finish by reading 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Yeah, that's what we're saying. People mock, people scoff. Ah, where's this? Where, you know, when's it going to happen? Scoffers and following their own evil desires. They want to scoff so that they can live how they want. And it's written here a couple thousand years ago, but there you go. They will say, where is this coming? He prophesied. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed. See, they don't want to even have God involved in creation anymore. It's all written here, isn't it? This chapter summarizes our modern generation. We like to take God out of the creation. We like to take God out of now. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. They don't want to have that as either. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. This is why. Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? Why doesn't he just sort it out ages ago? He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. See, he's much more gracious than we are, because we would have said, wind it up, forget it. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants to give as many a chance to believe. As long as he can let it run, he'll let it run. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. It'll all be, I could say it'll all be renewed, or it will be new. A new heaven and a new earth, where God's dwelling will be with man forever, where heaven and earth come and be one. And we will have new bodies, and we will have new destinies, and we will have purposes that are far bigger than this world. And he will give us things to do. That's what I believe anyway. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother, I like this when he talks about Paul, just like our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Like, Paul's smart, he's basically saying. That Paul, he's a bit smarter than me. With the wisdom God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do with other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you are already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. And I finish on that because he has given us hope, and let that hope dwell in us. Treasure it and live for it.